Hello everyone. I know you're going to see me tomorrow, but I'm very excited about starting Commit 42. And shockingly, as usual, there were a few things I thought this might be a useful time just to share some of these and get them out of my head. So, without further ado, I am going to walk you through some of the most impactful things I do to help me get in shape, stay in shape, and show up at my best generally, and how I apply these with clients. It's not just about me, it's mostly about the clients. But so these are some of them. Sorry, parched. Anyway, the first one is range targets, which you will all now have because you should have done your audit. Don't worry if you've not done it, as long as you try and get it done as soon as possible. And we're going to go over these on Monday's call. But this is a real game changer. Now, I know that on the surface they seem quite obvious. But I find that a lot of things that seem quite obvious are so impactful when you actually action them and commit to them. So you will have your non-negotiable target and then your optimal target that you're striving for, right? Your non-negotiable target should be something that is very achievable for you. And then your optimal target is something that you're going to strive to hit, right? So, as an example of this, might be that you do 8,000 steps as non-negotiable, but you're going to strive to hit 12,000 steps. It might be that your calorie target for optimal fat loss, if that's your goal, is 1,500, but you're not going to go above 1,800 because you know that's maybe sitting around your maintenance. The key here is that if you stay within that range, and that range needs to be achievable. This is the important part. And this is what most people make the mistake of being like, oh, my non-negotiable is 12,000 steps a day, but I'll try and hit 20,000 steps a day. And it's like, it defeats the whole purpose because you're not going to hit it consistently. The non-negotiable needs to be very achievable for you, right? And then your optimal needs to be something that would be a bit of hard. It would be a bit hard to get there, right? Excellent English as usual by me. So, once you've got these targets, if you stay within them, which, as I said, should be very much achievable, then that level of consistency is what's going to get you results, right? Even within 6 weeks, which is a small period of time, if you stay within your range targets for 6 weeks, the results you get are incredible. And this is why I'm so excited about it. And I know, again, probably seems quite simple to people, but honestly, if that's just what you focus on, I've got these targets for each pillar of my life that are all very important to me, and I'm going to stay within the range for 6 weeks. You will be amazed with the results that you get, both physical and mental and social and professional, right? Then the other thing that I want to share with you is a couple of things that I do with myself and with clients that really have nothing to do with diet or exercise, but will help you get and stay in shape. And also show up at your best, which is kind of something I talk about a lot now, and is to me the most important thing. No point getting in incredible shape if you're not showing up at your best or you're sacrificing huge areas of your life. So the first one is waking up 15 to 20 minutes earlier. Now, this gives you time to do the two things that are coming up after this 15 to 20 minutes earlier. But really, the impact is you now go into your day with intent as opposed to chasing your tail. And it seems, again, quite drastic, but sometimes just waking up 5 minutes earlier can ruin your whole day. And again, you can turn that around, but when you get up and you're always chasing your tail, it becomes very hard to then show up at your best, be present, not feel rushed for the whole day. And I absolutely hate feeling rushed. I hate rushing from one thing at the to the other. I hate not being present because I'm worried about being late for the next thing or trying to rush through something. You actually find that it might seem like short term, it's not a big deal to be rushed. But if you are constantly rushed, you won't enjoy your life. You're rushing through your life. Again, deep, philosophical, but it's important, right? And you can get swept up in the moment consistently and always feel rushed and never actually sit and enjoy what's in front of you and have gratitude for that and appreciate the moment. So you wake up 15 to 20 minutes earlier, more if you can. I like to get up an hour earlier, but I don't have kids. So I understand that like 15 to 20 minutes is absolutely enough time to get the benefit of this. And then I want you to make a daily plan. So the time commitment here is like 5 minutes. It can literally take you 5 minutes to make a daily plan. You can spend longer if you want to make a detailed one. But the point of doing it on the day is that you probably know what I call fires that you're going to have to put out that day. So for me as a business owner, I wake up, there is usually something that's gone wrong. Almost always, right? Even if I've planned it very well, something will still go wrong. And sometimes it's out of your control. Prime example of this, we had the Commit to 42 launch, my one-to-one check-ins, and most of the coaches' one-to-one check-ins as well, check-in on a Friday, and final Commit to 6 check-ins, all on Friday this week. And what happened? Typeform went down. And all of our check-ins go through Typeform, right? There's nothing I can do. Nothing. Like, I don't own Typeform. It's a huge company. Like, they said that the service was down. It came back a couple of hours later. It wasn't the end of the world. I could have chosen to be mega stressed about that. Or I could have chosen to be like, well, hopefully people will understand and there's not really anything I can do about it apart from explain that this has happened. And can you, you know, note down and do your check-in an hour later? My point is, there'll always be fires. I couldn't have foreseen that, but it had to change my daily plan a little bit. Even though it was just things like, I obviously can't reply to check-ins until they come in. So if they're not coming in, then I'm going to have to change my plan and change my day a little bit and maybe flip around what I was going to do in the afternoon to the morning when I was going to reply to check-ins. Little things like that. Or it could be that you wake up and you're like, oh, my kid's unwell and can't go to nursery. That changes my whole day and what I had planned. Okay, so I'm not going to the gym anymore, but can I fit in a home workout when she has her nap after lunch? Something like that, right? So you know what you're going to plan for the day. Those little things make such a big difference. And again, you go into the day with intent instead of going in hoping things will just slot into place. Because unfortunately, that doesn't tend to happen without some kind of intent. And third thing is a morning routine, which again, you all have examples of in the audit. This should really be scoped towards you. Now, I've given an example of mine. The things that I think you should include is some form of exercise, a bit of hydration, having a good nutritious start to the day. So whether that's putting in some protein, whether it's just a piece of fruit. The rationale behind this is that starting your day with actions in the direction of your goal will make it far more likely that you continue to take actions in the direction of your goal. It's a little bit of a hack, because you're doing this, like these small actions, which actually, you know, on the grand scheme, don't make that much difference. And it only takes 5 minutes, but it has the impact on your further behaviors. And it's like quick win to start the day. And then the fourth thing is Google Calendar, which again, I've nagged you all about already. I want you to slot in your check-ins, which you know where they're going to be already, like personal training sessions. So they're in there, in the diary. You're going to take 20 to 30 minutes to review your last 2 weeks, see what's gone well, see what's not gone so well. Where are you living up to the targets that you've set? Where are you falling short? Were the targets realistic? What can we do to help you try and meet them? Do they need to be adapted? And then stick that in your check-in so that your coach can give you feedback. It is one of the most important parts of the program. Now, what's a little bit different about this compared to previous coaching that I've done, I'm not chasing you for check-ins. That's not something I'm going to do anymore. And I actually think almost the reverse psychology of this is going to make more people check in, but also the reminder in your calendar of this is an important 20 to 30 minutes that I need to sit down and review my last 2 weeks. It needs to be in there and you know when it's going to come. And the fifth one is more around nutrition. And I think it's an element that a lot of people miss, which is that most people know, if they've been working with me before, or if they kind of follow this realm of the fitness industry, you might have a calorie target, you might have a protein target, there's a lot of flexibility within it. You still need to have some kind of structure. It's much like saying, I'm just going to go into the gym, and I know that the fundamental to building strength is progressive overload, so I'm not going to have a plan. It's going to kind of like aim for progressive overload. It's not going to work half as well as having a structured training plan, making sure that you hit all your muscle groups, going in, knowing what you're going to do, actioning it, and then coming out. The same is true with your diet. If you just wander into the day hoping that you're going to hit your calorie target and your protein target, it's very unlikely to happen. Whereas if you have a bit of structure, not only does it make it more likely that you hit your targets, but you spend less time thinking about how to do that, which is very draining. You know, if you're always thinking about food choices, it gets pretty tiresome. Whereas if you have a structure, it takes away a lot of the decision fatigue. Now, I've shared with you the 3-to-1 method, which is what I use. That doesn't have to be what you use, and you're welcome to run what you're doing past us in the group, post in the group, tag your coach. But there needs to be some kind of structure to your day so that you're not always thinking about food choices, and that's going to make it a hell of a lot easier to stick to your diet. So the 3-to-1 method is based around a perfect balance, in my opinion, between structure and flexibility, where you've got a lot of structure during the day and a lot more flexibility in the evening. Now, I'm going to wrap up this video here because I'm going to see you all on Monday evening, hopefully. If you can't come to the video live, the Zoom call live, don't worry about it. You can watch it back. If you can come, it'd be great to see you. And yeah, I am extremely excited about this. I'm excited to see the impact it can have, not just on your physical health and your physical results, but also on all aspects of your life. So I'm mega excited to have you all here. And let's make this an awesome end to the year.